Welcome to Winning at Life. Awesome weekend here. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and Retirement Authority.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about some community events happening we're going to be a part of. We think you should be a part of them, too. We also got to review this week's Gregory Ricks live event. We're going to read some of the comment cards. If you attended that event and you didn't get your comment card answer at the event, stick around. We're going to try and get to it all today. We have a nice little rundown on ETFs. They've been getting a lot of attention lately, but why? Why the newfound attention to ETFs when they're usually just kind of like a side mention here and there? And some scary news about pensions being cut to virtually nothing for about a half a million people, but that's just the beginning. And we may touch a little bit on what's going on politically, whether it's the unrest in Turkey, whether it's the recent attack in Paris, or the Trump finally picked a VP. What does that mean for your money? We'll try and get to all this. Oh, and also in the second hour, Jude Heath, the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks & Associates, is going to be in studio. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can email us, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. You can float us a text message either via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or if you go to GregoryRicks.com and type in your question in the chat box, it'll pop up on Gregory's lap. Top here on the other side of this this very nice gray table that we're dealing with. But I want to start with the passing of a local legend. Peter Mayer means a lot to me, means a lot to Angie across the glass here, and really just about everybody in this three-story iHeartMedia palace in the CBD, because Peter Mayer founded the biggest and most influential ad agency, now kind of half ad agency, half PR firm these days, here in Louisiana. He died this week at the age of 86. Legendary name. I never got to meet the guy. I think I might have met the guy in charge now, Mark, but I didn't know who he was at the time because I was ignorant and I was kind of new to town because this was a while back. But, you know, we've done a lot of work with them here at iHeartMedia, but they're the big dogs in town. And the story that they wrote out for him in the Times-Picayune is fantastic. John Pope wrote the article, and it's worth anybody's time if you like little stories, because this guy came here to America from Nazi Germany as a six-year-old refugee, speaking no English, figured it out really quick, graduated here locally from a private school, went to University of Missouri, came back, and started working for a couple of ad agencies. And after he bounced around between two of them, decided, you know what, I can do this for myself, and then subsequently built the largest one in the boot. So the top of the heap for Peter Mayer. What was the employee number? Because they don't have as many employees as they had at one time. I think it got up to, where's that number? Anyway, I think they have around 100 people working for them still here in New Orleans. We work with them all the time, but reading this story, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but you can kind of tell it's one of those rags to riches, just came off the boat with nothing in their pocket but a little bit of lint, not even speaking the language, and they turn around, a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, rose to the top. Don't you love these stories, Gregory Ricks? I mean, the empire you've built, you at least speak the language and you're from here. Think about starting from this position and still rising to the top 1%.
What a great country this is.
And you give
anybody and everybody the opportunity.
You hear it just repeated over and over, these stories. You know, my wife's grandfather has a similar story, just came here from British Honduras, now Belize. Nothing in his pocket but lint, and he had a successful business. Dude's been retired for almost 30 years, and he hadn't run out of money. That's how well he did. So, yeah, it kind of gives hope for little old me. You know, hey, I even spoke English my entire life. Certainly, if I can get my stuff together and figure out some business sense here, I can at least get to half of his success level. That'd be great. But I know a lot of people in town know that name. And I know a lot of people we work with have worked with them, and it's always cool to read the backstory on a big business that you've heard so much about this whole time. Let's get right into this week's event, Gregory.
Absolutely. Another fun one. I really enjoyed it.
My favorite observation here is Dwayne Stein. He comes on after us, but he got held up. The same thing that held him up from coming to our event on Wednesday is holding him up today. But this is for a great reason. He went to one of those traveling baseball team tournaments with his son, Gavin.
And they just keep winning.
They're in the championship today at, what, 1 o'clock, 1:30, something like that? 1:30? Yeah, so now they're swinging for the championship, and he's got to miss a show, but small price to pay. However, the thing that makes me giggle is at this event, he had his right-hand man, his number two, Jeff, was in the building. And he asked the same question Dwayne always asked the crowd. How many of you guys here own your own home? Literally everyone raises their hand. There's not one renter in the group. No one has a condo downtown. Come on. But this was a 100% hand raise. And when he says, okay, now how many of y'all are in your retirement home? What, did three people raise their hand? That was the biggest swing we've ever had.
I know. That was a surprising moment right there. I think it. I was thinking two, but probably was three. Two or three people raised their hand that they are where they want to be for retirement. Usually it's a little bit bigger mix.
Yeah, it's like 50-50, like maybe half of the people are in their retirement home.
I asked that question to a couple the other day that was in for a review, and they both answered at the same time with different answers.
Yes, no?
His was yes, hers was no.
That makes it tough.
Yeah, it does.
You say, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee here, and while I'm out, y'all need to have a little chat and word something out.
And the reasons varied. For her, it had to do with the size of the property and the upkeep.
And the housework or the mowing? Are we talking indoors or outdoors?
I think it's both.
Because
outdoor.
Outdoor, that's a my problem. Indoor, that's a hot redhead problem. We have different takes on it. She would like to live, as soon as we get rid of the kids, she'd probably like to live in an 800-square-foot house with a huge yard. And I would like to live in a gigantic house with no yard.
Yeah, he was just, it wasn't that big a deal to him, but to her, it was.
So what do you ask a couple like that they're split? How do you make them decide whether or not they are in their retirement
house?
I'm
not trying to get them to change their mind. What you're looking for is that answer. Whatever it is, I'm looking for that answer. This was a question, actually, that came up, and I talked about it the other night at the event, I think, for a few minutes, but you know, they came in for an annual review, and we were reviewing where they're at along the path. And from what we did originally when they became clients several years ago, they came back and increased the income, which affects their upside growth. Now, they've got other sources of income besides the income from assets, mainly Social Security for both of them. But we were getting to a point where when I was looking 10 years out, are we getting a boost of income? And actually, it goes back to what they originally had set up to take in distributions. And my thinking is, gosh, things are going to cost more. But that difference in income actually is going to debt that they created when they did a second mortgage to do some things. And it's going to pay it off. And then when the income gets dialed back, well, they don't have that payment either each month. So I'm thinking there, and then I pause, and then I ask, are you in your retirement home? Been a while since we had that discussion. So they both differed in the answer, and she asked me, well, why did you ask us that all of a sudden? So I paused because I felt I knew what her reaction was going to be when I answered, and I said I was just kind of thinking about a reverse mortgage in your future. And she went, oh, kind of like that. That's not exact, but you know, made a face, negative sound. And I said, why are you reacting that way? Oh, I don't want one of those. And I said, no, and I'm not here to talk you into it. I'm not talking you into moving or staying. I'm just throwing an idea out there for you to adjust to over the next 5 to 10 years or so, because if you're going to need more income, that is going to be your source. And both of you being on reverse mortgage, you can't get booted out of the house. So that's where that conversation came from. Of course, she's not open to it, but when you start needing money later, yeah, that is a source of income. So that's what led to that conversation. But for that to work, they have to end up on the same page, not one wants to stay, one wants to move. And that's why I said it. I really wasn't wanting to change their mind. I wanted to know. So that is something that's not going to work until they both do come together.
Yeah, and there's so many underlying little details that happen with that retirement home. Maybe you're living in a home that's exactly the same size, but if I moved my house, just picked it up and carried it like a waiter across the causeway and set it down outside of Bogalusa, what would my tax bill look like? How much different would that be? In selling my house in Lakeview and buying an almost identical one in Bogalusa, I would probably come out with a little extra cash left over. You know, that's a lot of other factors.
When you ask that question and then came up in the conversation is, yeah, we could downsize, we could move elsewhere and have lower overhead maintenance and have some additional money. That's easy in theory, but just the example you gave, moving from Lakeview to Bogalusa, that's a hike. That's completely different. Now, if you're moving across town, that's enough. But part of that, I always think, is, okay, what you like that neighborhood, how are you going to replicate where you've enjoyed living for quite a long time? And is price going to match up with that relocation? And is it going to save you money? You might, in turn, figure out that, hey, this could cost you more.
Well, my in-laws will probably be gone. My kids won't live here anymore. I won't have anything anchoring me to this if I'm not working anymore either. Anyway, a lot to think about with the retirement home.
It brings up a lot more questions.
All right, we're going to hit up some of the comment cards from Wednesday's Gregory Ricks Live event. If you want to get your question answered, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning at Life. You know, that's a song there. It just shows you some little things can change your life. And that was for Sugarland, was something that just blew up the charts. They became number one. Our friend with Buy Me a Boat, one song with the right hitch. Yeah, with the right hitch. And boom, Rich.
I was thinking Chris Hansen, but that's a different guy. Why don't you have a seat over there? It's that guy, the Catch a Predator guy.
Chris, or the idea to do Winning at Life on the weekend, financial talk show that's about giving out information, not free reports, and beat you over the head with some products or whatever, turns out to be a pretty good idea. And actually helped the business and changed our lives as well. So, and the reason I talk about that is you are listening to it on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. James Parker, co-host. Myself, Gregory Ricks, is your host, but we've been doing this for over 6 years, live radio, which they kind of, remember, Mike Scott was one of the reasons I decided to go forward and do this.
They don't know who he is. Mike Scott's the guy that's like three levels above us corporately now, but when the show started, that's how old the show is, 6 years ago, he was just a lowly old sales manager over iHeartMedia New Orleans. We were still Clear Channel back then. We even had a different name. Yeah. But he leaned on you for that, and that's literally the biggest decision you have to make when you decide to get a show. Are you going to do it recorded or are you going to do it live? Because they're two different animals. Because if you do it live, there goes your whole Saturday. There's no room for error. If you screw up, everyone hears it, and you can't go back and fix it. There's a lot of liability. You also, because you get to take live calls, you run the risk of, if you've ever screwed over anyone in the world, guess who's going to be the first person to call? And get right past the screener because they say, oh, no, I just want to tell you I love the show. And then they get on, you suck. You made me lose a lot of money. And so, you know, we kind of look at you like, well, we're about to find out if this guy's the real deal or not. 6 years, hadn't got one of those calls.
Yeah, and what you spoke of, and that was the deal. They wanted me to do a live show. And I was like, oh, no, I don't know if I can do a live show. Well, I didn't think I could do any show, really. That first one was kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
Especially 20 minutes in, seeing the second hand really start slowing. Oh, my gosh, the show's never going to end. Well, we're over 6 years later, and we have the weeknight show from 7 to 8 that's live also, the Daily Wrap. And people, you know, I had somebody come in yesterday, and first thing when I walked in conference room and a client reviews, you work all the time.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I work a lot, but, you know, from we enjoy the show. We have a lot of fun, and I think that's why the show is popular, because they tell that we have a lot of fun on the show and interact, and they know we know each other really well. And what we gave up to do a weeknight show. For me, it was television, probably watching a show or something like that, as far as maybe going out to eat with Stacy and other things we do. It's not really affected that much.
Yeah, this week I've given up mowing the lawn, apparently. Now, I've wanted to do it, but it sprinkles just enough every day. It's like I can't get down there and get all mucked up with this wet grass. And by the time it dries out, I got to go do a show with Gregory. So,
but that was one of the big decisions is when I start doing something, I always looked at this. Well, I'm going to do this a few months and see how it goes, or I'll do it a year, find something else to do on the side. My thinking was this is a life-changing decision because it is a live show, and that means it affects weekends. I'm going to be doing this for years to come. So once I adjusted to that decision, yeah, we were on and went forward, and here we are over 6 years later with 8 hours of live radio every week. If you have a financial question you'd like some help with, call us at 504-260-0995. You can email me also, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. If you've not done so, there's two apps I want to remind you to download. One is the iHeartRadio app, which is just unbelievable. I've got some stats this week. I can't give them to you because they're not just stuck in my head. But iHeartRadio, just from Ashley attended a digital event the other day, and they were basically talking about how much reach and impressions that iHeart has, and it's just tremendous. Just you just don't realize how big that is, and I think they have more impressions than Google itself, which is tremendous. So it's kind of like iHeart's a hidden gem in there. But you ought to download their app, because if you get away from your car radio or the house radio, which is what we call the terrestrial, you can listen to us on the stream as people do across the country. And the other is the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Just go to your app store and do a search. It also links you to iHeart and allows you to directly message the show.
I'm a big fan,
like,
too.
Messenger.
And it's great on road trips, because, you know, you lose a radio signal, but you'll just bounce from cell tower to cell tower if you listen to iHeartRadio. And some people have just accidentally found us there. They're like, yeah, we're just kind of surfing around and landed on your show. Now we listen every week. Now we listen every day. Now we listen, whatever, on a regular basis. But our live events, we kind of cap those off. We don't want to fill up the New Orleans arena with people who want to come see you. We want to keep it a little small, a little intimate, because we have to get to know you. You have to get to know us. And we would just have too many comment cards if they got any bigger. Because look at this guy. You can tell either he's a financial professional, which why would he be at our event if he was, or he's a listener to the show. I put this one on the top. It's on your top, too. That's the one Ashley put on your top. It's because this guy has 1, 2, 3, 4 concerns, 5 concerns, and then he has little sub-bullet points under most of them. Like the second one has 3 bullet points under it. This is half a show right here, Gregory. This guy gave us what could run us all the way up till Jude Heath at 11:05.
Yeah, I didn't even see this one the other day. Yeah, that would have altered the event. I'd had to spend the whole event on this one card, I guess.
Well, let's give this guy a lot of answers. What's your primary concerns is all it says at the top of the card. His first bullet point, life planning, insurance, investments. Does that say accounting? Is that a shorthand for accounting? And then legal. So life planning, I'm not sure if we've heard that nomenclature before. What's your take on that?
Well, it's obviously life planning to the financial side there. Insurance that he's looking at would be, and what would fall into that area if somebody's close to retirement, concerns about health insurance, long-term care insurance, which would be health-related as well. Life insurance could be if he has an estate issue. Or is he asking, and being we don't know, he just lists insurance, but I'm just listing the reasons that you might bring that up. Also might be tax efficiency, that there are some neat things about life insurance when you're looking to maybe fix the taxes on an IRA. Or are you looking for an income tool where the money comes out really efficiently, or to fix a debt issue that you still have in retirement? Because what's one of the neat things about life insurance? It pays a tax-free death benefit.
long-term care insurance usually gets thrown in that mix too.
Yeah, I had mentioned that. And then some of those life insurances can do multiple things, like it could have a long-term care benefit built into it as well, or terminal health care and such as that. There's a number of things where those are a lot more creative, and it's not just doing one thing. Oh, I've got to die for that to work. No, it turns out that it has living benefits for you as well. So then goes to investments, which is one of the typical ones of how should I be investing? And that, and we don't know, because we don't know anything about him. But what it comes down to, as far as what we do, is we work in all three worlds: the banking world, the Wall Street world, and the insured money world. And then it correlates to a lot of discussions we have is risk. Just like a couple that was in yesterday for a portfolio meeting. You know, what we break it down to is, are you a 1, 2, 3, or 4? And it gives range of return to risk. And they circled 1, which means they had a downside tolerance of -12%. They also circled 4, which was a tolerance of 0%. And the way he was looking at it, he has two types of money. He has some money that he doesn't want to take any risk with, and he has some money that he's fine with. In that case, would be a large movement over a short period of time there. And what it broke down to is he had after-tax dollars that he wanted to have no risk, and basically we used fixed annuities for that, some fixed interest annuities and some fixed indexed annuities that are bond-like in nature. And then for his qualified money, he wanted to use equities on the style of how we manage money, being loss adverse. So when you go to investments, that's a lot of questions to find out what's the purpose of that money. I can make an assumption on accounting, but he might like us because we have the Total Wealth Authority, which has Jude Heath from a CPA standpoint. So that could relate to accounting. And then the legal side, we have Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney of W.J. Blanchard Law, that's a part of the Total Wealth Authority. So that's just explanation of one line right there. Then he goes on to investments, conservative after tax, optimized 401k, tax-free vehicle for investment. So kind of covered that right there. The tax planning is more predictable yearly post-retirement income planning. So what he wants is consistency, but he wants tax efficiency. And there are a number of ways of doing that.
That's just halfway through the card. We'll continue this next. If you want to get your questions answered, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, that's our required filing with FINRA, you can get a copy of it by calling the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com. Same procedure if you're looking for help during the week. If you're just saying, hey, I'd like a visit with you and your team, or I've got a financial question I have a problem with that you're wanting to do, have some conversation during the week, give us a call. Once again, 504-832-9200.
All right, we're continuing with the comment cards from this Wednesday's Gregory Ricks Live event. And we're halfway through. Well, we're three-fifths of the way through the first comment card, but they're not all this thorough. I do like this, though. He was specific, after we talked about tax planning, did we clean all that up? Because the next one is post-retirement income planning. And he splits that into two categories: continue to work part-time or not to work. Now, that's great if the continuing to work part-time is an elective. Like, if you want to do something just to keep yourself busy, or you think it's fun, or just something to do because you don't want to be bored, that's great. But what's the thought process on planning to continue to working part-time for financial reasons?
To have something to do or do something else they enjoy. Sometimes it is still needing some money for the transition might be they're not 65 and they're having to handle some health insurance, but they're wanting to retire. But you also have to take or keep in mind that it can affect Social Security benefits depending on how much money you're making on the side. And then that might dictate to where should you work or not. And it could be the question is because it's not something they've done for a long time is sit down and figure out income planning. You know, is how do you break up the money? Give it the right job for the right period of time. All the money's not going to do the same jobs. And that's why we have the guided planning system roadmap. And that's basically a workbook that we work through mathematically to figure out where are you headed the next 5 to 10, 15 years. And it tells us what the money's kind of needing to do with reasonable expectation, takes you along that course, and helps guide us to what strategies or financial tools should be utilized as well to get you to that financial destination. And that is what financial planning is.
But if you're planning on working part-time in retirement so you can spend more money now, that could backfire if you're unable to work in retirement. A car accident or some other health issue, or you know, maybe you get cancer or have a stroke or something prevents you from physically being able to do it. It's not the situation you want to be in. If you can plan to not work in retirement, that would be preferable. And if you still want to do some bonus lanyap work, then maybe you can get a part-time job in retirement. But you've seen that where people were saying, no, I'll just keep working, and then they can't, and then they're stuck.
Sometimes they're asking that question because they don't know the capability of the assets, how much income should be taken, or when, or how to correlate in Social Security with that. Am I going to need to work until I turn on Social Security on a part-time basis? And as well, I think retirement needs to be, you're retiring for a reason. What are you going to do? Hopefully something fun, enjoy, travel, might work to travel more. It depends on where you are asset-wise. And that's a lot of people come in just to, hey, am I on the path? We had a couple the other day, and they work with somebody else, and they came in for a second opinion. She's retiring, wanting to know what to do with the 401k, and we had a discussion. And her case, it kind of because of the guaranteed return she's getting at 3%, in this climate, I thought it was a good place for her to leave it there until that yield decreases. Then we'll have a further conversation about it.
We have a mix of AT. What is that? I'm just going through the next line. Help me. Is that AT and it looks like a money sign? AT something, ATFs? I don't know. 401ks and real estate. What is the AT though? I don't know. But we have a mix. Something, 401ks, real estate.
Well, let's just say after-tax accounts, probably what
after-tax and then a dollar sign. That's exactly what it is.
And real estate. So a mix of things. So the real estate depends on how much income. A gentleman the other day that came in that we're working with, part of what they're doing is their real estate and Social Security, they have a nice income. The income they're wanting to take from assets is travel and whatever money is. Just they said, look, we just want a gross of $2,000 a month from assets. So it's just not even making a dent in it, but that's just extra money to make sure we have the money to do the things we want to do, enjoyable things in retirement. So, you know, the assets that they've built up is basically travel and fun money.
But those real estate holdings, even if you're getting income off of them, at some point, do you get to an age, say 80, 85, 90, where it's time to start liquidating these things because you'd be better off taking the money you would get off the sale rather than trying to still be in the business of renting?
It's a great question. Depends on the size of the real estate business. If it's a couple properties and you're the fixer guy, could be a problem. At some point, you're going to get tired of doing that. I had a client a few years ago. We've had several clients kind of at some point move out of their real estate business, but I've got another couple that probably have about 40 properties. They're in their 80s. And they just love doing it, especially her. It's what makes her go every day is having that. But it is truly a business. And I'm pretty darn sure she's not the one solving the minor issues like the water heater quit working, the AC's broke. She has plenty of revenue that's run as a business, and other people do those jobs, and she kind of likes the higher end of it, is if she's selling a property or buying a property, being in there or negotiating the lease, fun stuff like that, not getting somebody to fix the water heater. That's somebody else's job, and she can afford to have it that way. So I doubt they're ever going to move out of that business. That will move on to children. But the ones with the smaller 2, 3, 4 properties, at some point you're probably going to want to retire from that and seek a transition.
I don't know if I would stereotype it like that, because I would think that that's adorable if an 85-year-old lady shows up, puts on the shower cap, and then she's doing the army crawl under the house to get to the AC unit, you know, because the dang compressor blew out again, or she's got to change the capacitor or something like that. Not putting that behind her. She's probably in the minority of property managers, but that would be a good look. Maybe she's into that. I don't know if you can make that assumption, Gregory. Then
there's another one that she does a lot. She doesn't do the repairs, crawl. I'm not seeing any woman client with real estate that wants to do the grunt work. That aside, I've got one that and she's got a great deal of properties herself, and who handles that, you know, the collection of money and so forth? And she says, I do. And if you saw her, she's dressed up, you know, nice clothing, very nice car. She came in, and she says, oh, this is not how I look during my work day.
Very cool.
She says, they don't even know I own the property. But she's doing that stuff there and acting on behalf of the owner. And if something comes up, she said, yeah, I've had conversations like this, and I'll just respond, you know, I just don't think that's going to go over well with the owner.
Ah, that's great. That's super cool. Just go in, and it's like a undercover boss, but for your tenants.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably a good way to get feedback. Yeah, hey, what do you think about the property management so far? And they think they're just talking to a grunt. They're probably a little more likely to be honest. Oh, well, the owner's like absentee, or they really need to fix this, or they've been jerks about XYZ. That's probably pretty cool. But then at the bottom, you could have guessed this. He probably didn't have to write it, but I'm still glad he did. Interested in a whole portfolio / financial plan, not just broker to invest in funds. Done. Perfect. Like, we could tell.
Yeah, that's the butcher versus the dietitian type thing, is look what's going to be in the best interest of the client. Look at everything overall. Yeah, not just move money and buy 50 different mutual funds. Some of them loaded, none loaded. That's a lot of what you see out there. I had one come over from a very large, well-known firm, and he just had a bunch of A-share mutual funds. He didn't realize how expensive that was.
Well, has he heard of ETFs? Yeah.
He had some of those in the mix, but it wasn't many versus the mutual funds.
Yeah, we got some ATF chat coming up after noon. We got to talk to Jude Heath before that. I want to go ahead and flip to the next comment card, though. I think it might be just the very next one in your stack. Ashley must have put these in the order of what she knew we would find interesting. That's it. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, she's getting good at ordering these. What's your primary concern? Inadequate retirement savings and income, stock market volatility, impending doom, new regulations for Social Security, not thought up yet. Three great points to start with the top one, inadequate retirement savings and income. So I mean, the basic question is, how much should I start saving and when should I start doing it?
Well, you're needing a much deeper conversation than that, because don't know the age, don't know the income, don't know what the need of income projected is going to be, or the want. You know, remember, it's three things. Can we replace the income? We can't do that. How much income do you want? And then we should also know, what do you need? What does it take to pay for the bills, to pay the bills each month and live life?
Well, if he's worried about inadequate savings, I'm thinking he started late. And the adage for the late starters that we have probably applies. How much should you start saving? As much as you can. When should you start saving it? Your next check. 504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation, I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I see a dust trail following an old red Nova.
Welcome back to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. In studio with me is co-host James Parker. We have Jude Heath coming up. in a little bit, in hour two. He's the CPA member of the Total Wealth Authority that we have on our team. We are also streaming on Periscope, and we had a viewer there ask, well, it was,
what's your thoughts on Robert Kiyosaki's book?
Kiyosaki's book. And he's got a number of books, but if somebody really wants a good read and one I'm familiar with, it's like, okay, I need, what's one book that I could teach me a lot of what's going on in money and help give me guidance of dealing with the financial world and getting help? And I recommend Tony Robbins' book, Money, Master the Game. It's 7 Simple Steps to Financial Freedom.
I haven't read the Robert Kiyosaki book. Do I really need to read that? Because you're not the only person that's told me that, and I've been hearing it for years. Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Should you read it?
Yeah.
It gives you some basic structure and common sense things about dealing with money. And when you think about this, the stuff we're needing to know, let's see, where did you take a course in it?
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, most of us not getting any type of guidance or training or anything. These aren't going to, now, to, if you're thinking, well, what can I read so I can start self-managing money? Well, that's probably your first of 50 books that you probably need to read, and you probably need to spend an hour every day reading for years to come to gain the type of knowledge that if you're wanting to be at a very high level in money management.
It's like asking someone, what book do I need to read to become a doctor? Well, probably about 50 of them, dude. You know, we got a book on infections. We got a book on diseases. We got a book on broken bones. We got a book on
skin
rashes.
Then you're going to need books to help you with those books.
Yeah. And then you're going to need all the glossaries and the dictionaries. And then you're going to need a book on prescriptions. And then you're going to need a book on the actual medicine themselves. Then you're going to need a book on how to file the insurance paperwork to get reimbursed for the whatever. What a nightmare. What are your primary concerns? Let's get back to the comment cards from this week's Gregory Ricks Live. By the way, the next Gregory Ricks Live event, 1 month from the day, August 16th, that'll be a Tuesday at Ruth's Chris in Metairie, 6:30 p.m. You can be the next person to come upstairs, meet the crew, fill out one of these comment cards, and we'll either answer it in person right in front of your face, or we'll do it on a subsequent show as soon as we can get to it. Now, the next one on this one is stock market volatility - impending doom. First off, I like this guy's handwriting because he writes like me. Everything's in block letters and all caps.
Does that mean he's screaming at us?
No. This is pre-caps lock situations.
I'm just kidding.
No, that's fine. It just means he's probably very handsome. I think that's who writes like that, is handsome people. So he's not really worried about...
I knew better than to ask you that because you're going to give your take.
Yeah. So he's not really worried about stock market volatility, the ups and downs. Sounds like he's only worried about the downs. He's worried about that big crash, the impending doom. Do we feel impending doom? I don't feel impending doom. Maybe a correction, maybe 20%. Maybe we'll get down to 7,000 again, but it'll come right back.
Yeah, I'm not in this mood that everything's all going to heck. Everything's coming off the rails seriously and going to fall off the cliff. That could happen to some people using Pokemon Go, and I think recently we've heard of some people falling off the cliff.
Two idiots in California fell off a cliff trying to catch Pokemon.
But we're not thinking about that for the financial world. Could that happen down the road? Yes, it could. But this isn't something that I don't really think that we wake up the next day.
And there's a military coup.
Or military coup or Greece that, oh, if you didn't see that coming, you were under a rock. You had went too early in your storm shelter, stayed there too long, and came out, and things had came apart. I'd want a heads up, and if we need to start running, I'm going to let you know. You see us running and talking about it on the show, then you might want to start as well. This is... cataclysmic event financially isn't something that's just going to show up and we're unaware of it, and we're not going to stay in denial because we always look at what's coming. Is stock market volatility here to stay? Absolutely. It is kind of the norm. I don't see it going back to anything else because of examples of Brexit, And what is the outcome? I saw this, you know, at times it looked like the coup was going well, then other times it looked like it wasn't going well. So who's running that country today?
I think the coup has failed, which means there's going to be a lot of dead people.
Anyone there was a lot of dead people to begin with.
Only 200 are reported dead. I'm sure the number is going to inflate, but wait.
Okay, that's a lot.
Hang on. Every general, every officer, every corporal, everyone that's in the chain of command that supported the coup,
done.
They're dead. That's what happens in these second and third world countries. If you have a coup, you better win, pal, and you better retain that seat of power, or it's not going to end well for you. And I think it's not going to end well for some people. I tell you what's super cool, though, is you could go to either Facebook Live or you could go to Periscope yesterday. I was on Periscope, and there's people just walking around in the streets of Ankara, scoping around. And so some guy's literally walking up to that front little entrance at the airport. And we all saw the Ataturk airport from the terror attack that happened about a month ago.
Yep.
But this guy's walking up and just surveying the area. And then he turns to the right, and then a tank goes by. It's like, well, that doesn't happen at my airport. Oh, my goodness. Things are really going down.
Yeah, and he was rolling, huh?
Oh, yeah. And it was a tank, and he had like the little Michael Dukakis guy bobbing out the top of it. And it looks like a movie set. This does not look real. But this is what happens in other countries. You know, people complain about America. It's like, oh, income inequality. Yeah, but we don't have tanks rolling down the entrance of the airport. Plus, who's going to fix that pavement? You know, that's not good for the actual road surface. So it looks like they did all this for nothing. They were blocking off bridges, and you could just bounce from scope to scope and see what's going on in the streets. And really late last night, it was sunup in Turkey.
I saw that.
Yeah, so it was the next morning, and everything was just a traffic jam. You saw everyone that wanted to go to work or continue their life, and they're all just basically waiting out of their cars talking to each other like, hey, will the army stop blocking the damn road here? I'm trying to get to work. You know, even though it's a Saturday over there because I was watching it last night. I don't think it's going to work out, but that kind of impending doom.
Coup, whatever. I got to get to work.
Yeah.
They're waiting on me there.
That's one kind of impending doom. But when you're worried about stock market volatility hyphen impending doom, really the only sort of financial doom you see like that is a currency revaluation. Argentina likes to do it every, 10 to 15 years. Mexico has to do it every once in a while.
That's not what we're expecting here. Let's go into what's the scenarios of doom here. U.S. defaulting on debt.
On a long enough time scale, that's going to happen, right?
I don't know. I think more of what we would have. Look, that's one of the things. Could it happen? Yes. But that is globally very ugly for us to default and say, yeah, be like Puerto Rico. We decided we're not paying the interest payments this quarter. That affect everybody on the planet.
But that's going to happen.
Pension funds, insurance companies.
That happens to every great world power on the downslope of their of the empire. You know, the ancient Romans, they defaulted on their debt. The Spanish Empire defaulted on their debt. Down south, the Mexican Empire, when they defaulted on their debt, that's when the French came over and gave us Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
We'll do it too, eventually. Maybe not during our lifetimes, hopefully not during my kids' lifetimes or my grandkids' lifetimes, but on a long enough time scale,
I want to be clear. We're not seeing anything like that right now.
Okay.
Look, China has their debt to GDP is 200%. Ours is, 95 to 98, something like that. So we've got a long ways to go before this could get really ugly, and what's likely to happen before then is because nobody has the stomach to default. What are you likely to do? And what James is saying, eventually the country's going to fall apart in some way. Okay, yeah, that could be 50 years, could be 100 years. I don't know. Nothing within our vision. What I think comes long before that would be hyperinflation, which you drive up the prices of everything, but the debt doesn't move. And actually, as a percentage, it shrinks dramatically depending on how long they run that hyperinflation. That's more of a problem. If you're kind of saying, well, something cataclysmic in the world happens. Okay, electrical grid goes down. Okay, yeah, that's kind of a big problem.
Yeah, but that hyperinflation leads to concern number two, the currency revaluation. But the last one seems like...
Well, it is doing that to the currency.
His last concern, new regulations for Social Security that haven't been thought up yet. That's a real concern. He's right on the mark there. You got 1 minute to explain.
And we understand based on last year, they could just up, and next thing you know, they've altered it some. where we think Social Security is going to get its fix is eventually they will raise the Social Security tax that everybody pays through their payroll and the employers pay, because they've not done that in like 23, 24 years at this time.
I tell you what they're going to do before then is they're going to keep those cost of living raises as low as possible, if not at zero.
Well, that's why they changed how they calculated it a few years ago.
Because so that's a de facto benefit cut is what it is.
Yeah, it's just basically you're not getting any.
What's the over-under on them raising the retirement age? Because that was something I would like to see, but it's not very politically popular.
Yeah, and we talked about it on the Daily Wrap a few days ago. The starting at 62, where most everybody starts it, I think would be something they would be open to looking at.
All right, we got Jude Heath, the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority, in the building. He's going to join us in the next hour to give us some tax guidance as well and talk about his experience at the Gregory Ricks Live event Wednesday. Remember, our next Gregory Ricks Live, August 16th. That's a month from today. It's Tuesday, Ruth's Chris and Metairie, 6:30 p.m. If you're interested in that, info is at GregoryRicks.com or the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning It Live. I always start to say the Daily Wrap. That's our weeknight show. This is the Saturday show. We've been doing this for over 6 years. You're listening to us on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. James Parker's here in studio with me, the co-host, and Jude Heath of the Total Wealth Authority. He's the CPA part of how we look out for clients. I am your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and Retirement Authority.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, you're not quite sure what to do, or a tax issue and you're not quite sure what to do, you better give us a call, 504-260-0995. You can email us, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com, or you can float us a text message a couple ways, either via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app or in the chat box at GregoryRicks.com. And we don't really say this much anymore, but you could still throw a Facebook message out there. We just noticed it's probably
there's so many ways I forget to mention.
It's the least utilized one, and we can't mention all the ways. I mean, we bring up the pigeons again, because that used to be real popular. People used to mail in letters to radio shows. Remember that? Just
throw a rock?
Yeah, right. Throw a rock through the window. Just tap on it like you're trying to pick up that girl. But the old school way now is the phone. Why would you do that? Who's got the time to do this? You know, it's much easier to text while I'm driving. Plus, you know, you don't need to occupy your phone. Don't need to occupy your phone, because you could be catching Pokemon the whole time. So you could just text it in and then go back to catching and slamming on your brakes in residential neighborhoods like I do. And doing. Are you part of that, Jude? We didn't even ask you about that. That's the hot new trend, Pokemon Go. Are you in on this?
No, I've been reading about it, but I haven't latched on yet. I'm still trying to finish up some folks' returns. So,
oh, he's working. See, like that's what's that like, being responsible? You were at Wednesday's Gregory Ricks Live event. What'd you think?
Oh, it was terrific. Great turnout, and you know that's another way that folks can connect with the show is the handwritten comment cards. They turn those in. There's usually something that applies to tax or myself or Wes, you know, state. So it's nice to get everybody's comments in, all their concerns of what they want answered at that live event.
Yeah, and coming up later in the hour, Jude's going to remind us about some impending tax deadlines that you should be aware of. But first, check out this story. And this is a Louisiana story. And anytime you see the words $1 billion and tax in the headlines, you got to pay attention to that one. Tell me about this one, Jude.
Well, this story came out on Thursday and basically involves Dow Chemical, the Baton Rouge or the Plaquemine plant up the river. And they appealed a tax decision that was handed down to them. And it was the appellate court upheld the throwing out of $1 billion worth of tax deductions. And they also affirmed the lower court's decision of a 40% penalty on top of that. Now, they're only giving that 40% for just a couple of years, But obviously, this is going to affect Dow. They're saying that they're, you know, going to assemble their legal team and decide what their next moves are. But, you know, it gets harder and harder to invest more legal fees. The main thing is it applies to a lot of Gregory Ricks listeners is that, you know, the main point that the tax judge and the appellant court brought up was that there was no business purpose to these chemtech entities.
The partnerships, yes. They would create a chemtech partnership.
And they sold the royalties to one chemtech, and they sold the plant and facilities to another, and they sent them through foreign banks, so the foreign banks weren't ever taxed. It's quite an interesting read from a tax perspective, but of course, you know, we like that sort of thing, and so we read through that. But the main folks, the main focus of this, we get a lot of folks. We obviously don't have Dow Chemical coming into the office, but we get a lot of folks that come in wanting to set up LLCs. And the main thing is you do have to have a business purpose. That general rule applies for Dow Chemical and for the guy that cutting grass or landscaping or whatever.
Well, I think their first mistake was the naming of these partnerships. One was named Chemtech One, the other was named Chemtech Two. Right. You got to at least pretend like it's a real business by giving it some fancy name out of the Louisiana Chemtech Corporation. I don't know. But to the phones we go. If you have a financial or tax question, you better give us a call, 504-260-0995. This is Mel in Uptown. You're first up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, talking to Jude and Gregory. How can we help you, Mel?
Hey, guys. I got a tax question, but I wanted to comment. You guys were talking about something cataclysmic. Well, I mean, the market's done so well in this last 7.5-8 years. I mean, when Romney lost, I put all my money in the market. And I'll tell you what, you guys aren't Obama fans, but that guy's done wonders for the job market and the economy. But my tax question is making estimated tax payments. What are the benefits of doing estimated tax payments, and what are the consequences if you don't make the payments? I'll listen off the air for your reply.
Well, you can hang on.
Hang on a second, because I want to address that one part as far as the 8 years go, and I really don't try to take a political side, but I'll just tell you, I'm more on the conservative side, but I don't have to follow any political party. What we want is the best people wherever they come from. That's my bottom line philosophy. And I'll tell you, I've made more money in the past 8 years than at any other point in my life. And I've made more money for clients in the past 8 years than any other point in my life in this business now. And that's one thing I talk about, whoever gets elected next, and I'm surely not ever going to say who I prefer or predict. I've given that up for the rest of my life. But you know what you have to do the next day after whoever wins? You have to get up, pull your boots on, and you go to work and go about looking out for people's money. That's how I see it from my standpoint. Just wanted to throw that out there.
All right, Jude. The tax issue?
Yeah, so the benefits of paying your tax payments on a regular basis as you earn your income throughout the year is that you're not charged an estimated tax penalty when you file. So the IRS doesn't expect you to pay for money that you haven't received, but when you do receive it, they expect you to calculate the tax, and that, you know, the common thing is to pay quarterly estimated tax payments. There are two new ways that have come up within the last few years. One of them is EFTPS.gov. You can register for that, and once you get ACH set up, you can pay as many times as you want throughout the year, monthly, even weekly if you so desire. And then also, it just released this year, the IRS 2Go app allows you to pay your taxes from your phone. So that's really cool too. If you're, you know, out working a job and you kind of see that you made, you know, $5,000 on this job or whatever it is, and you want to pay a quick $1,000 once the money's deposited in your bank to the IRS, you just pull up your phone and make your payment. So they're making it easier than ever to pay your taxes currently, rather than waiting, say, till April the 15th and paying one balance and possibly risking quarterly estimated or estimated tax payment penalties and interest. So,
well, that's my question. When you say possibly paying, if I know I'm going to be able to make my payment at the end of the year, at the at tax time, then do I really need to worry about making the estimated payments? Like, if I you know, I have the money socked away, if I make the payment in April, will I pay any penalties for not paying estimated quarterlies?
It depends.
Okay.
Each calculation is different. Generally, on January 15th of the next year, you're required to have at least paid in the lesser of the 2 years, last year or this year. And there's a little bit of differences depending on your income level to that general rule. But even the January 15th, say 2017 deadline for this year, even that they expect and will penalize you, estimated tax payments, for not paying as you earn throughout the year, at least quarterly. And so I have not seen your tax situation. I don't know and can't answer. But generally speaking, what we advise our clients of is that the cheapest taxes you're going to pay are take advantage of everything that's allowable by law, but then pay the taxes currently rather than waiting till the end of the year.
Okay. Thanks for the information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jude, but some of that has changed. They really weren't doing that in the past or as bad about it, but it's kind of at the core. If you're just going to wait till the following year or when you eventually file to pay that bill or April, yeah, you're getting some type of interest penalty, period.
Right.
Circumstantially, could be varied or more.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't know Mel's particular situation.
Well, it kind of sounds like one of the bullet points from the first comment cards we read in the last hour. Because this was the one that had the six different bullet points. The third one, we talked about it a little bit, but it says tax planning more predictable yearly. How do you do that? How do you make your tax payments more predictable over a year?
Well, our particular firm, we don't take off at April the 15th. We work on as soon as April the 15th happens, we get amendments, extensions filed. Then we start working on tax payments for 2016. So there's some clients that their income has changed dramatically, and we'll work on those almost monthly. So we work currently for the current year.
Tell me more about that app. So you can just make some money and then turn around and flip it off to the IRS with your phone. That doesn't sound very advantageous. I mean, it sounds convenient, but wouldn't you want to kind of compile that? And there seems to be advantages to quarterly paying over day by day.
Sometimes, but sometimes people aren't very religious about saving their payments for the quarterlies. Quarterlies hurt more than monthlies. So
true.
Yeah.
All right. Jude Heath is in studio.
Yearlies hurt even more now.
That's right.
Very painful.
I'm not very good at paying any of them. But Jude Heath's in studio. He's the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority. So if you have any financial or tax-related issues or anything accounting, you better give us a call. Usually we say Greg. You better give Greg or Jude a call. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Hanging out in studio with us is Jude Heath, the CPA, the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. It's the Justice League for your money. We got a call on the line, but if you want to be next, 504-260-0995. You can get a tax question, financial question, maybe one of these hybrid financial tax, I don't know, questions. We've got two big financial eggheads across the table from me. And we can put their brains together to work for you. So, Joe and Harvey, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Oh, good morning. Good morning to everyone.
Hey, was this the Joe from last night?
This was the Joe from last night. That's correct.
All right, welcome back. Good. We kept him around, Gregory. We didn't run him off. Welcome back. Dude, this guy, you're going to like
Thank
him.
Thank goodness.
We were talking about you after the show.
Oh, my goodness. Good. Good, I hope.
Oh, it was good. Yeah. We were really impressed when you said, okay, but as far as the house thing goes, I got an annuity that's coming due in 3 years, and we'll use those payments, and we'll have it paid off by 65. We're like, oh, well, this guy's just not a novice walking in for the first time. He's already got a plan, and he's just looking for a second opinion. But what brings you to call again on a Saturday, Joe?
Okay, I didn't have a chance to ask this last night, but when it comes to the 401k, okay, when it's a retirement time, and I pull out my distributions from the 401k. Remember, part of it is a traditional 401k. The other part is a Roth. What does that look like when they give me a check every month? Are they going to tell me how much of this monthly amount is from Roth, or, you know, what the percentage it is? I mean, what does that look like? Do I need an accountant to figure that out at tax time or whatever? I guess I'm curious because I have the 401k. Part is going to be, well, part of it is Roth and part of it is traditional. And I'm doing that because I want to save on taxes when it is time for time. But what does that look like? Will they send me a check and tell me what part of that is tax-free?
So, what? And then this is Jude. Joe, what you'll get at the end of the year, and I tell my clients to keep up with it with each check, is you'll get what's called a 1099-R, and there'll be a taxable portion. There's a gross distribution portion and a taxable portion. So the Roth obviously would not be taxable because it's growing. It was after-tax money growing tax-free. And so while I don't know the specifics of how the pension check would look or how the distribution check would look each month, whether it would separate it in between those two lines, that will accumulate to the 1099-R at the end of the month, and so, at the end of the year. And so, it'd be a good idea for you to keep up with that.
Different view I would have of it is if you're not at your old job, your 401k shouldn't be either. There's always exceptions to that, but let's assume you do a rollover. You roll over the traditional money, goes to a rollover IRA account. The Roth portion goes over to a Roth rollover account. If you're and then you have two different accounts, two different IRAs, the traditional IRA, the Roth IRA. If you're taking distributions from that traditional account, you're going to get the 1099-R showing what's taxable distribution, which typically is all of it. For the Roth, you're going to get one, and it's basically going to say none of it is taxable, and that does not even go on your 1040.
Does he get two different checks every month?
Well, if he's having from a separate account, like if we were handling it, having a traditional Roth, he would get two different distributions. And let's say he's wanting it on the 5th of each month. He says, send me $1,000 from my traditional and send me $500 from my Roth. He's getting two deposits, one from the Roth, one from the traditional, because they can't be combined.
And just as an aside, Joe, if you did roll over, you wouldn't necessarily have to take a Roth distribution each month. Because it would be, like Gregory said, it'd be two different accounts, two different pockets of money. And one of the things that we've seen with some of our brand new retired folks is sometimes you want to hold on to that Roth money a little bit just in case you need some tax-free money down the road, maybe a new car or something like that, that you don't want to pay an additional 20% on top of the price of the new car. So, kind of live on your before tax money and withhold the tax on it, and that way it's not a sting at the end of the year, and then kind of hold on if you can. I don't know your numbers, but if you can hold on to the Roth for other reasons.
Those are good ideas. I didn't think about the rollover aspect of it. I guess I was just thinking, once that age comes, boom, I'm just going to go ahead and get a check. Those are good ideas, though. Okay. I guess that's why they pay you guys the big bucks. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks. Hey, if you think of anything else, give us a call back, Joe. You're welcome on the show anytime. That's Joe and Harvey, y'all. He's our new favorite listener. I told you he had it together. You should have heard his call yesterday. I might have to pull that out and put it on the website. All right, Jude, back to business here as far as the tax situations go. I had another comment card that I wanted to skip down to. let's see here. Liquid assets, cash in hand. What's a good amount to have, and safe economic, blah, blah, blah. And they're worried about the tax effects of that. Cash in hand, what's a good amount to have? And then they talk about taxes as well. What do you think about that in retirement? I guess we got to talk about after-tax dollars. There's nothing you have to worry about as far as taxable income that comes from that, right?
Well, all your pre-tax money is taxable. And so one of the things that we talk to our clients about, that especially, like I told Joe, newly retired, is calculate the withholding, have your in Gregory's case, have Gregory tell the house to withhold the taxes and remit, and that way you get a net check every month. And we will work closely on that to make sure that the withholding matches closely what your taxes will be at the end of the year. And I think that kind of plays into what the question really was, you know, how do I make sure that my taxes are covered?
Yeah, and if you want to use a retirement account, it's not necessarily just the RMDs, but to dip into it before the RMDs happen. What do the tax consequences look like there? You have to pay it when it comes out. They automatically withhold 20%, I believe, whenever you get an RMD from a pre-tax account. Do I have the rules right?
So the RMDs don't have a mandatory withholding. We see a lot of folks that get, you know, the required the RMDs where they just have to pay tax on it at the end of the year, and we just include that in with the quarterlies if they have other income sources. So I think that you know, that's a good idea from the standpoint of holding out as long as you can, but again, that on drawing down, but that's more Gregory's expertise.
Well, see, here's what I imagine with that is they're before the RMD age, but they're in retirement, so let's say they're 66, 67, somewhere in there, so we're not worried about the penalties. But I want to buy a new RV because I'm going to drive up to Mount Rushmore and then take a left to Montana and visit some kids. So you need a big lump sum, maybe 100 grand, maybe 200 grand, just from your pre-tax accounts. How are taxes handled like that? If you just get a big lump sum distribution, is there withholding?
So it is taxable. And one of the things that we would talk to our clients about is plan that distribution, you know, depending on your other income. Maybe you could do one distribution in December, one in January, to try to keep the progressive income tax tables in your favor. You certainly don't want to pay at one of the top rates just to draw down and buy the RV. If you can wait a couple of months and buy it in January and take a distribution in December and January, maybe that would work for you. But again, every situation's different. But to answer your question specifically, you know, all that's pre-tax money. That's all taxed.
Okay. They do withhold the 20% automatically, though, right? Where did I hear that before?
You have to instruct. To withhold.
Okay.
There is a backup withholding, but the mandatory withholding, but that's another issue. That's with people that are behind in their taxes. The IRS instructs the agents to a mandatory backup withholding.
All right. I have another comment card, and they have four bullet points. I'm going to read just the third one because it kind of dovetails with the story you were telling us about Dow earlier. Wanting to take advantage of any tax shelters. That sounds nice and vague, but where are they going with that one?
Well, you know, sometimes tax shelters cost more than the tax, depending on how much you lose. This Dow case involved, I had never heard this term before, but it was invented by Goldman Sachs. It's called a SLIP, a special limited investment partnership. You know, I don't know how much they made after tax or how much they lost after tax. You just have to be careful chasing only an investment, and this is more Gregory's area, but investment is usually not made by the tax benefits. It has to be a good investment, and oh, there's tax benefits on the side.
So, on the individual level, though, what does a tax shelter look like?
So tax shelters typically are what people refer to with limited partnerships. Those have special rules. Sometimes they don't produce tax benefits because sometimes they're limited to passive activity losses and you can't take them anyway. So every tax person's tax situation is different. The way we like to do it when we get these what-if scenarios from our firm is we take the existing tax return, say we have 2015 already completely filed, and we lay the what-if on top of it and see what would have happened if you bought that, say, tax partnership in 2015. That way we can help our clients make an educated decision rather than will this work for me or not. And like Gregory talks about in his presentation, only listening to the salesman.
You use that term again, tax partnership. What do you mean by that? Can you give me like a 30-second rundown?
There's REITs. There's a lot of oil and gas tax partnerships. It centers around an economic activity.
Okay, Jude Heath, CPA of the Total Wealth Authority in studio. When we return, we're going to talk about some deadlines, impending tax deadlines that you need to be aware of. If you have a financial or tax situation and you need some guidance, you better give us a call, 504-260-0995, or email us, gregory@gregoryricks.com. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5, WRNO.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.
It's a registered investment advisory firm. Please consult Form ADV at the bottom of every page of GregoryRicks.com for all of our legally required disclosures. This is the same thing they say at the end of the NFL football games. If you'd like to rebroadcast this, or if you'd like to play it off your DVR, you have to give the NFL your firstborn kid and probably half your property rights, and maybe sign over the title to your house. Yeah, those are. Have you ever talked to a lawyer? Have a lawyer friend? They hate that because that's not a legally enforceable disclaimer that they have at the end. Any rebroadcast without express written consent, really? So if I DVR'd it and I play it tomorrow, I have to go get written permission for that. Somehow I'm a little skeptical of that claim. But they overshoot that disclaimer on purpose just to kind of freak everyone out. Ours is legit, though. We really do have a form ADV that's at the bottom of every page. And it's actually in two parts. So if you want to go check it out. Knock yourself out. Jude Heath's in studio with us. He's the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority, part of the Justice League that we've assembled for all aspects of your financial well-being. Our next Gregory Ricks live event, your next chance to meet Jude Heath as well, August 16th. That's a Tuesday, Ruth's Chris in Metairie, same location. Go upstairs, get some financial goodness, eat some food. But right now, I need you to tell me about some deadlines coming up. What's the next one I need to be aware of? And the guy listening, what's the next one he needs to be aware of?
So September 15th is a twofer. It's when all the entities are due, so LLCs, partnerships, S-corps, corps, and C-corps. And then it's also a quarterly tax payment debt. So we usually tell our clients, if you're extended, don't wait till the last minute. Now's a good time to get in, month of August. We'll, give it back to you in good stead and give you a chance to ask questions and how can I save taxes next year and those types of comments.
So September 15th is a double one. What's coming up after that? Isn't there a big one in October, the for real extended deadline?
October 15th is the 1040 extended deadline. But a lot of times with flow-through entities, S-corps partnerships that are due on September the 15th, that we're looking to the 1040s. So we're finishing up the 1040s almost immediately after the September the 15th because, those little small business owners, that they're one of their biggest concerns is how much am I going to owe extra, or do I get to apply any to next year as a reef carry forward, or those types of questions. Tax is a big concern, obviously, for all business.
Well, we know you're busy from January to April 15th. Sounds like you're busy over the summer through October 15th. Is there a vacation time for accountants? Is that sort of the November, December? Is there a dead period, or at least a slower than usual period?
Yeah, typically, a couple of weeks after Thanksgiving or something like that. And then we're ramping up for the new year. So we've got new software. We've got materials to get to our clients about possible changes in tax law. Sometimes that Congress waits till we won't probably get it this year because of the lame duck. But Congress sometimes wait till the very last day of the year to implement retroactive tax changes. Our clients want to know about that. How does that affect them? Can they do anything to take advantage of that?
Yeah, so, they love to do that every year with the retroactive charitable tax deductions. Isn't that what that was? Now, that's permanent for now, but that doesn't stop them from making tweaks at the end of the year on other things.
What's permanent? Just till the next Congress decides that it's not permanent. So it's permanent for now.
Right. It's temporarily permanent. All of them. Any big changes you're expecting this year in the tax code?
Well, of course, everything hinges on the presidential election. And I've read a lot of both candidates' stances on taxes. I try to keep up with that. No telling whether they could get those tax changes to put through. But, Hillary wants to drastically reduce the estate tax. So,
oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of her.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. So but we don't know if Congress, she'd have to use her, if she became president, she'd have to use her authority negotiating skills to get that through Congress. She can't create president.
Sure.
So and Trump, of course, has his different, if he got to be president, has his different ideas of tax.
And neither one of them look like they want to make any big wholesale changes. You had a couple of candidates in the primary process who are saying we need to get rid of the system as is and go to a flat tax or a fair tax. Those would have been shocking changes to your industry. But these two guys right here, I don't see any big movement either way. To the phones we go. If you want to be next to talk to Jude and Gregory, get some financial and or tax info, 504-260-0995. This is Susan in New Orleans. You're next up.
Hey, good morning. My son has left his job for another job, and he has a 401k there. And I've been telling him, I don't know if I've been telling him correctly, that if you take the 401k out, to put it in a Roth IRA and not just move it into a regular IRA, is that, and just pay the tax on the money. Is that correct?
It would be a taxable event if you move it from a traditional 401k to a Roth IRA rollover. That
yes.
can be done, and it would be a taxable event on
okay.
the untaxed portion of the.
Yeah, that's what I was telling
401k.
Him. Now, does he have to keep track of that amount, or will they send some kind of form at the end of the year for the tax or something like that?
They'll sell it, send a 1099-R for the tax.
They'll send a 1099?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay.
A 1099-R, though. 1099. He put an R on the end of that, Susan.
R, 1099. So that would be just like you would be taking money out of an IRA. Is that the same form you get for that? The 1099-R
yes.
when you take a distribution?
That's correct. And the main thing to know, you know, about your son that might affect his decision is if he's below 59 and a half years old, of course, he's going to pay that extra 10%, that extra 10% penalty. So sometimes, depending on what his other income is, that can be a bit of a sting, you know, and I don't know what his needs are for the money. But there are some exclusions on that 10% penalty. Not very much. Things like first-time home buy and things like that.
Wait. You're saying that if he does that, he'll incur a penalty?
There will be a penalty
put on the brakes right. for a second.
Okay.
Where's this 10% penalty coming from? He can do – you're talking about – you're saying there's a 10% penalty coming from the traditional to the Roth conversion?
No, from a 401 –
Right, that's what I'm getting at.
Okay,
there's not a 10% penalty on that. I got to differ right there.
Oh, okay.
Because
it is
a Roth conversion. If he was taking a distribution to himself from the 401k and under age 59 and a half, he's going to be taxed and have a 10%
right.
early withdrawal
oh, okay.
penalty.
I misunderstood.
But he's going from 401k to Roth, going
right.
traditional to a Roth conversion, which used to you could not do that. And IRS changed the rules, and you could convert from 401k to Roth. And all we have for that is a taxable event. There's
okay.
no 10% penalty because
no penalty.
He is not taking it personally.
No.
Thank you for that, Gregory.
Okay,
sure.
That's what I wanted to be sure I was telling him correctly. Okay, well, thank. Oh, by the way, when you have these meals, the dinners, is that just for elderly people, or can a younger person go to that, like in their 30s, to find out about investing?
It is an open event. There is a screening process that my team handles. I don't handle that aspect of
mm-hmm.
it. Now, I obviously am the principal and final say on everything, but there is a screening process that they go to make sure we have qualified attendees with
mm-hmm.
like interests there. But it's and since you brought that up, we had one of our youngest events overall from an age standpoint the other day that we all noticed there. But it is a range, and I say typically it's people 40 and up typically
okay.
there, and we don't have an age rule, but there's some other questions that my team ask that helps.
Because I'm thinking from
that.
The aspect of, I guess you're never really too young to start finding out about retirement, you know.
You cannot start early enough,
right.
Is how I would like to say it, and save as much as you can.
But you need to be careful of the financial advisor, and I put that in air quotes, who says anyone can come in the door at any time. Because we tell people sometimes you're not in a position yet to where you need to start spending money on fees and start making some guy a commission on your investments. You need to get that pile up a little bigger. Before you know,
I understand.
Yeah, you don't need a Sherpa to climb to the top of Monkey Hill over by the zoo, but you do to climb Mount Everest, if that's a tough metaphor to swallow.
There's one other thing I want to throw in here. You're going to get a 1099-R when you do a conversion that is a taxable event, like we've talked about. Depending on who's handling the 1040 for you, if Jude's doing it, for example, the tax person is going to use Form 8606. If you're doing it yourself, you need Form 8606 because
okay.
that covers that transaction, and it puts a time stamp on that transaction as well in case you mess it up. For example, we have the statute of limitations. Only so far they can go back because you time stamped it by having that form in there.
time stamped what?
Meaning if you mess this up and they figure it out 20 years later and you didn't do the 8606 and they can come back, penalties and interest can go on forever.
Well,
so
I
just wanted to point out there is a form that goes in your 1040 dealing with the conversion.
Will I get that form when he makes a conversion or
you're going to get the 1099 when you do your 1040 or whoever does that for you is going to utilize form 8606. So when you were asking about forms and what such, 8606 is tied to a Roth conversion, among other things.
But he doesn't have to do anything until he can make the conversion, but they doesn't have to do anything until he's doing his taxes. And
correct.
At that time, that 1099-R has to be filed with the 80, and then the 8606.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all at tax time.
Okay, and I know there's a time. I know when you do this, there's a certain time, maybe it's 30 days or 60 days, I don't remember what it was, that you have to put, if you take the money out of work,
60-day rollover
you have
rule?
To put it in.
Yeah, we're talking about going custodian to custodian, so you don't even mess with that.
Yeah, you right. will, if you do it, if he takes it out of the 401k directly to himself, you're getting a 20% mandatory withholding, and it's difficult to undo that, so you... James is right. You want to go custodian to custodian is the rule you want to follow.
So 1099-R, 8606, these sounds like little trifling pieces of paper, but thousands of dollars are consequences hanging in the balance. If you want to be next, get some advice like Susan in New Orleans just did, 504-260-0995. I got Jude Heath, our CPA, and Gregory Ricks, the financial supercomputer in here. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Baby, this is Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I like me some Florida Georgia Line. Good stuff.
It's a weekend band. You don't want to listen to this when you're in your business mode, right? Because then you find yourself kicking off your shoes and walking around barefoot, and all of a sudden I got a new tattoo on my shoulder. No, you got to stay business face. Business. Florida Georgia Line's a weekend band. Hey, we got Jude Heath in studio. He's the CPA of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. And which means you can get a chance to meet him and Gregory at the same time at our Gregory Ricks live events. The next one's coming up August 16th. That's going to be a Tuesday this time around. This week's event was on a Wednesday. Still the same place, though. Ruth's Chris in Metre. So if you want to be a part of that, go to GregoryRicks.com. We got the phone number plopped up there. Or the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. That's what all the cool kids are doing. You know, they go back and forth between that and trying to catch Pokemon. And... go ahead and download that on your phone. On a long enough time scale, you will need the services of a financial advisor, and that app will be at the ready whenever you need us. But it also gets you hooked up with our events. All right, so Jude Heath, I'm going to ask you to I always love throwing this out with no prep. Give me a recent story, a recent storyline. Tell me the story of a client that you and Gregory had to collaborate on recently.
Okay, I saw one of Gregory's clients yesterday. He is behind a year or so, a couple years on his taxes. And that's a good point, is that this is a good time of the year, if you have fallen behind, to catch up. We're caught up, and I told him we'd get him a 1 week turnaround. Get him at least, has a little small business, and we get it back to him to start reviewing, within a week. And so, although Gregory and I haven't collaborated on him yet, he is, retirement minded. He's looking at enjoying the grandkids. So that was a nice client to sit down and meet.
Now, how complicated is it? Does he have a reason or an excuse, or does he fit the normal model of how people get behind, small business owner, or had a shady CPA previously? What drove him to this position?
Well, he went from being a contractor to owning a little share of the business. So he went from being 1099. I think he could probably do some of that stuff on his own, 1099, to owning and getting a K-1. And so he's just confused, got behind, and wants to know, most taxpayers, what can I legitimately deduct from these income sources? So, yeah, that, I would say that that's probably the reason why he got behind it. We didn't really talk about that. Folks that are behind a year or two, there's almost always a reason, and it either could be procrastination or they just don't like facing it. You know, taxes sometimes are the big ugly when you don't have anybody to hold your hand through it. So that's one of the benefits that we can provide.
So what's he looking at in penalties and fees or whatever? There's going to be negative consequences for getting behind. What is that?
We don't know yet because we haven't calculated his tax. So is the penalties and interest, if the IRS owes you a refund, there's no penalty and interest for filing late.
I figured they'd at least give you a penalty. I understand there's no interest on the money you owed them, but can't they say, hey, punk, $250 for not filing on time? There's not even that?
So one of the differences to that is for small businesses that produce K-1s, if you're late, they do charge you a per K-1 fee. And they've gotten very stern about forgiving those or abating, we call it in tax world, abating those penalties. It's $195 per K-1. So if you've got five partners, $195 per K-1 per month. So if you're a year late, you know, do the math, and that can be thousands of dollars. So we encourage our small business clients that have partners or maybe an S corporation, you know, keep up to date. Cheapest taxes you're going to pay are today's taxes.
Are you saying abating or baiting?
Abating, not bait and switch. Abating, like removing the tax.
See, that sounds like the base form of the word we use all the time in normal English language, rebate. We never use it without the re, though. I get caught up in some of the use of the language, right? Because there's some things that are disgusting, but I've never run across anything that's gusting, and I'm trying to bring some of these back. Some things are ruthless, but nothing is full of ruth, you know? Like, this show isn't ruthless. This is a very ruth-filled show. We just never see that. So now I've just learned where rebate comes from. What do we re? Re what? Because re means something coming after the fact or repeated. So this is abate versus rebate. All makes sense now. But you've known this the whole time, and you never told us.
Well, we're talking tax. We're having a discussion.
So whenever the guys come in, and I'm sure you've seen this hundreds of times, what's the reaction to the result? Because I know they're expecting negative. They're like, this isn't going to be good. This is going to cost me a lot. Are they usually pleasantly surprised because it cost them less than they expected, or are they usually floored because they didn't know it was going to be this bad?
It depends. You know, some folks have some hidden skeletons in the closet that on the process of doing their returns.
What does that mean in the accounting world? Because we know what that means in the political world.
So a very common thing, we just had it happen this week, is we had a medical practitioner buy medical equipment on a loan. And previous CPA a couple of years ago deducted, appreciated all of that medical equipment in full. And he deducted, he had in his accounting as a deduction, the loan payments. Well, that's not deduction. The deduction was for the equipment. You're only allowed the interest expense portion of the loan payment. And so that's all income to him, and he hadn't paid estimated tax payments on that. So that was a moment for him where, you know, he was a new client this year, and we hadn't worked that out.
Is that illegal? It sounds like the old CPA mischaracterized that.
No, typically with depreciation, if you know, Section 179, there are limits, but they were under the limits that he could fully expense that medical equipment in that given year. That's something that people take advantage of readily to keep their taxes down. And no, it wasn't illegal. We caught it when we were reviewing his accounting records, and we explained the differences and told him how to create his own accounting records for years going forward so that he shows the income properly so he pays his estimated tax payments properly.
Wait, how's that counted as income? Pardon my ignorance, but how's that counted as income?
Repayment of debt is always income. Whenever you repay the principal portion of your debt, you only get to deduct the interest expense business environment.
Why is that?
Well, you deduct the...
Sorry for getting philosophical. I'm genuinely lost here.
You deduct the in this case, he bought equipment, and you depreciated the equipment when it was placed in service in that year. The loan repayment, the principal portion of the loan repayments, you don't get that deduction again. Some people like to call that double dipping. I think that's a simple term. You know, you get to take the interest expense of your loan repayment that you borrowed to purchase this equipment. You just don't get to deduct the principal payment because you already deducted it when you depreciated it.
Okay. That did make sense. Thank you. Just takes a second. I don't do this every day, and Gregory smiles when I ask dumb questions sometimes. So I don't mind feeling.
It's not a dumb one because the double dipping, and you think about it. Well, that's an expense. I depreciate the item, and having to pay for it's an expense too, and it's not. And that's why you see leasing done a lot more. So. You're not depreciating, but you have that total monthly expense, and then you deal with what you're going to do with that property at the end of the lease.
Y'all see a light bulb popping up over my head? Because I've always wondered, why is it so popular to lease a copy machine at offices? Why is it so popular to lease? That when I worked at a moving company, I was floored that they didn't own any of their trucks. They leased all of their trucks, even though they were repainted on the sides. They were all repainted red from Ryder, so they couldn't reuse it for anyone else. And they even painted the big logos on there. But they leased them all. I'm like, what, do you just not want to do your own oil changes? I don't understand. But taxes, huh?
Taxes drive the decision.
But, the tax code shouldn't be refinagling how we do business. That just, we should kind of leave it as open and flexible as possible, you know, to just seems less efficient that way.
It's still America.
It's a tough one, though. All right. So we only have about a minute and a half real quick. So let's just touch on this because this is always a hot button issue. From what we've seen here, Donald Trump made it official about the same time our show started today. Mike Pence is going to be his VP nominee. You had mentioned
official today. I thought it was official yesterday.
Well, he had to delay the press conference to make it for real official, which, you know, until they go out and he gets behind a podium and says, this is my dude, there's always a chance that he can go back and crawfish on the pick. But we're not going to see any big wholesale tax changes out of either camp, it looks like. Your thoughts?
So both candidates have their tax ideas, but, you know, they've got to work within the Congress. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we don't know yet which one of them can bring both sides of the aisle together and put some tax changes in. We do need tax changes in the country. Obviously, the tax code injures and benefits some rather than others. So, but that's just with the lobbying effort done. So they're probably, from each president's perspective, each candidate's perspective, they will put forth their tax ideas. So,
all right. Well, Jude Heath, CPA, member of the Total Wealth Authority, thank you very much for your time again. We'll have to do it again in about a month.
Yep.
When we return, more financial goodness is on the way. We're going to talk a little bit about ETFs. We're going to talk about pensions being cut virtually to nothing for some people. And if you have a financial situation not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You're listening to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. We've got a long way to get there, a long road to go.
And a
short time to get there. That's a Jerry Reed song with Smokey and the Bandit, I remember from that. But that was, this is a financial show, not a music show.
You're just quoting Eastbound and Down, aren't you?
Yeah, Eastbound and Down, I guess. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's a fun tune, by the way, when you're going a long ways back, racing around in a Trans Am. Those fun days.
With the T-tops, the Camaro with the T-tops, is that what you had? Did you ever have the Camaro with the T-tops, the Z28 or any of that?
No,
that
but
was so cool for a while.
Did you?
I had the Hot Wheels.
That's close as I got to it. I'm a car guy, but, you know, I always said, one day I'm going to get me one of those. Well, I'm at the point, I could, but now I don't. Do I really want one? Other than the nostalgia of having a Smokey and the Bandit car.
They come with a free pack of Marlboro Reds still. That's the interesting part. Hey, we still got to answer some comment cards this hour. We're going to talk about a few other things. I want to get to this ETF chat. It's just amazing of how much they're focusing on that lately. But if you have a financial situation, you're not quite sure what to do, don't feel bad about interrupting. We would love to have you be a part of the show. 504 260-0995. And when's the last time we checked our inbox there? Gregory@GregoryRicks.com. If you want to email, you can send us a text message a couple of ways via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, which you should have on your phone already. Thank you very much. Or if you go to GregoryRicks.com, little chat window pops up, you can type it in there. Now, a week from today, there is the Senior Living Magazine's 55 and Up Expo, or 55 Plus Lifestyle Expo. So that's next Saturday, July 23rd, at the North Shore Harbor Center in Slidell. It's on from 11 to 4 is when the expo is. We're going to have a booth there, but obviously our show's from 11 to 1, so we're not going to be able to make it there. But we will have one of our associate advisors, Nicholas. We're big fans of him. In fact, we're such big fans of him, we don't want you to meet him on the radio. You got to go to the event to meet him. Ashley will be there, Gregory's right-hand man, woman. I always like these expos. I just wish I had more time to donate to them because, man, my Saturdays are getting kind of slim around here. And if I hadn't mowed the grass by this time next Saturday, that's going to be priority number one after the show because it is getting ridiculous, Gregory.
You should just bail it.
Yeah, I could. I could. I could sell it because those hay bales are getting expensive these days. They're like $5-6 a pop. I want to go back to a comment card, though, before we get to more business news that happened this week, financial news. Because in that card, that the last one we ran by Jude Heath, our CPA, the final bullet point is what I'm going to run by you, Gregory, because this one applies straight. This is going to hit you between the eyes. With what seems to be such a volatile market, why not pull out and look at real estate? There's just 10 things loaded right in that little question there.
Oh, that's just so easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're talking about real estate, are you talking about buying actual property, or are you talking about going to REITs, for example? Tradable REITs should be the only REITs you should consider.
Real estate investment trust.
Non-tradable REITs, I really think you should avoid, no matter how good they make it look.
But you know what they're probably talking about is buying a second property or maybe a duplex and renting it out and coming up with some return and some yield that way. In this low yield environment, alternative investments, of course, are going to get a big magnet put on them. But is that the way to go? Plow the market and all of a sudden you're going to be a real estate guru?
Once again, probably should start reading books on that. Talk to others that are in it. And not just for the good stuff, but for all the problems that it brings. You've got to buy the property right. You've got to rent it. And we're just talking about doing it outright with non-qualified money. You know, for the past couple of weeks, we have had continued discussion about self-directed IRAs and holding alternative investments, one of them being real estate. Is not a simple thing to do either. It is like a minefield. So many things can go wrong. And it's just, that may be the fourth world of investing, not my thing, and I have opinions on it, but that's not something we manage or help you with. We give advice in correlation to the assets and the worlds that we manage the money. And the, you know, where do I get questions like that from time to time in office meetings. So what do you think about investing in real estate and such? And I think you've got to get it at a good price. And you've got to be able to make money at it and keep it rented. You've got to have emergency fund that for that to keep it going. If you do all things right, that can be a pretty good return on your money. It's just not simple to learn and do and buy at the correct.
Now, why does everyone think that they can just instantly make the transition from whatever their financial expertise or business expertise is into the real estate world? If, for me,
television.
Is that what it is?
There's plenty of flip shows on, so that's one part of it. The other is the real estate books of how to leverage your way to being wealthy, let's put it. I don't know what that number is, but wealthy and having income and such. And you give them $300 for a course, and they've given you everything you need to go in business. And I know some people I talked to somebody a few months ago that after Katrina, they had paid for this course, followed it, and just now they're reaching a point where they have extra cash flow.
Was this Trump University? Is that what this was?
No. It was nothing to do with Trump. Where'd you pull that out of?
I was just making a joke, trying to be funny. Sorry it failed.
Well, that part made me laugh.
Good.
And now they've got quite a bit of positive cash flow coming in from that. But they've, so that really means for about 10 years, it's been a struggle for them in doing so in that business. So with that said, I also hear a lot of people that that's the worst thing I ever did was try to do that. It's always different.
Doesn't it seem like you should go something a little more simple? Because the business model I like, because this could be plugged into any of the business formulas I learned in a couple of my college courses, is the snowball stand. You have almost no overhead. What do you got to go get one of those little huts that they sell in the parking lot at Lowe's? Stick a window unit in it and get one of the ice grinding machines and some syrup. You pay some 15-year-old girl over the summer, $8 an hour to man the store.
Well, here's the first problem. Okay, what is the rental? And we've talked with Tracy and Stephanie. They're the owners of Dwell Nola Realty. That's part of the Total Wealth Authority. And we've talked with them about what does it take to do that. So what area, what type of rentals are you wanting to have? What are they going to cost? What's their values? Probably $150,000 to $250,000. So how much money you got to get into the real estate business? Not much. Okay, then you're going to leverage it. You're going to borrow money. So that's a whole nother thing. And you're not going to get low interest rates like you're buying a house. So then you've got to unleverage it over time, which means collect rents, pay down the mortgage. So then eventually you get to a positive cash flow. Okay, you've got $10 million. So you can go buy a bunch of real estate and shift to that. But still, you don't know what you're doing. So you're going to learn. I think, and here's my core thinking, that if I was to get into real estate, and I'm not, I would want to be buying multiple properties. And I think at a core, I would need to acquire 10 over time. And I'm wanting them at discounts, not at retail. And I would want to get them unleveraged as fast as possible. Why? I want positive cash flow. I want to hire somebody to deal with the grass, with the water tanks, with the collecting of rent. And if I need it to get bigger, so one day all I worry about is cash flow reports every month, because I don't want to deal with anything else. That's the business. Otherwise, I don't want one or two properties where I'm having to deal with all the headaches. And when are they going to call? In the middle of the night, on weekend, or when I'm in Italy?
See, none of that sounds appealing to me. And if I had the kind of money, or even close to that kind of money, I think I would much prefer to do the Drew Brees model, where you just become a franchisee for an existing successful business structure where they already know what the menu is going to be and what the sandwiches are and what the price is going to be and how to market it. So maybe I get a Jimmy John's here, and then I get one of those boxing gyms in Metro.
You want a business.
Yes.
That works.
But that's what,
place.
But they don't treat it like this. And it is, when you just go into the real estate business, you're going into a whole new industry. You act like you're just buying your neighbor's house and renting it out on Airbnb or something overtly simple like that. And it's not. And I don't understand where the mix comes from. Why do people think it is? And haven't they already heard the stories of their friend or a friend of a friend or your wife's coworker got cleaned out trying to do a fixer upper? Don't they hear these stories too? Would you recommend going the franchisee route over that or not?
That's a complete different discussion from the real estate there, and I can't answer you that easy. But here's the thing. Are we trying to do something that's absolutely going to work? You got to pay a franchise fee and such. And, tell me about some of those people that have...
like a Blockbuster franchise? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, that could be one of them, but I'm more about the donut.
Oh, Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme. What was the franchise fee for one of those stores? It's about $1 million. Then you get to buy land, build a building, hire people, and get you some flour and sugar and go about selling donuts. How did that work if it doesn't work? Okay, that's a whole different animal and brings in all kind of risk, and you need substantial assets to support it till it does make money and to eat it if it goes away. One thing about, okay, I bought real estate. If you bought it at a good price, and that's the only way you should do it, is get it at a price that you can get out of it at, is my thinking. Remember, exits. If I'm going to buy a gold bar, how am I getting out of that gold bar? If I'm buying a mutual fund, how am I getting out? I'm buying real estate, how am I getting out? Okay, well, I hadn't lost $1 million franchise fee or $100,000 franchise fee. I shouldn't be down much getting out of that real estate if this business isn't going to work.
Man, the truth is not fun sometimes. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, James Parker's co-host. We have Angie on the board. We're doing this live. Phone number to join the conversation or ask some financial questions, whether it's Social Security, EF, tax. What have we had here? We had a question earlier, great call regarding rollover of 401k to a Roth and tax consequences. Great questions like that. Earlier caller that had called into the Daily Wrap show last night, he's really got it on the ball. And
Joe and Harvey.
And following that path to retirement. And, you know, it's great to have a caller that, you know, when they come in and they understand what's going on. You can message us through the Gregory Ricks app. Also, email me, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com.
Joe's doing so well, he may have to fill in for you next time you're out. He'd be our backup plan if you need a financial plan. Go ahead with your numbers over there, because I've got a horrible idea I'm going to run by you.
Bull market since bottoming March 9th of 2009, the S&P 500 has gained 274% and set, get this, 112 record closing highs through yesterday.
That's
112.
I wouldn't have guessed that. All right, you want to hear my horrible idea? This is the next investment I think we need to run into. No, this is better than orange juice futures. This is going to be better than the Bitcoin. This, I don't know if you can argue with this one. I think it's time to plow a bunch of money into a foreign currency, not the Iraqi dinar. I was never on board with that. I always knew that was a farce. I'm looking at the Turkish lira. The Turkish lira has been getting killed in the last, 24, 48 hours? Gee, I wonder why. But when you look what it did just between 3 and 5 p.m. on yesterday, it lost a big chunk. Look at this, Gregory. You see, that's the value of the Turkish lira. It's going straight down. It looks like a blue slope over in Durango, Colorado. So I'm thinking that this coup attempt has failed. Erdogan's going to be expected to retain power. Things should start to level back up and come to a similar homeostasis
just
that it was.
Just kind of like that Iraqi dinar thing.
Don't say that. I specifically said this is not like the Iraqi dinar thing, because this is a different country. And granted, yeah, they're adjacent at some point. Now, what about that though? This currency got unreasonably hit because of the thought of a coup yesterday. But now that the coup is failing and falling on its face, shouldn't we expect this currency to return back to some sort of normal?
That'd be interesting to watch next week.
But we're not going to put any money into it?
I am not.
Can you put $100 on it for me just to see what happens? Just $100. I don't have $100 to waste, but you do. It's for the show, Gregory.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm going to lose your money.
Me there.
You're just laughing that off. Why? What is wrong with that logic? Is it because we really don't know what the currency is going to do? But could you really see it going lower, continuing to go down, even if Erdogan stays in power?
I would wait and see still. Remember, higher highs, lower highs. What is that chart showing? Lower lows, lower highs continuously. You want to see a trend change, even if you are willing to lose $100. I would rather you see a trend change. But you also have a political climate. It's very ugly. So, okay, the coup fell, but is that over? Who was involved? Are they still out to get? You think they're done with it, or it was just a couple of generals got together and say, yeah, we're going to split leadership and take this thing over? What generated? Was there another country behind it?
Sponsoring the coup?
Where were we in it? Were we really setting back and saying, this isn't good. If this thing gets out of hand, we're going to step in? Or did we subvertly step in to make sure order was kept? But that's not going to, I would not expect that to become public. Or did somebody else influence it? You're bringing so much in that what you still need to make money on that is you need stability to return, and then that value goes back up.
I'll tell you what doesn't look stable. When you have the military blocking a bridge with tanks, but then you have the Ankara police actually going, holding the soldiers at gunpoint and the soldiers giving up, and they have their hands on their head getting arrested. When you have policemen from the same country arresting soldiers from the same country, that's a level of not stability that we haven't ever experienced in America, is it? Policemen are arresting soldiers? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if the JPSO went down to the Bell Chase Air Force Base?
That's why the U.S. Army can't come in and police all. That's what the state National Guards are to do, is to help out in time of emergency. We can't mobilize U.S. military forces and do that. So that what is something that makes that very difficult here to happen.
Okay, so that sounds like a no to the Turkish lira from Gregory Ricks. $40 oil possible again. Supply is improving. Demand is slacking. And it looks like that little flirtation with 50 is long gone, and we're going to see oil.
Yeah, it's slacking when it should be peaking now. And we've had rigs increase.
Yep, the rig count went back up.
It's all that excess oil. So you have optimism that's going to change. Sometimes it drives up prices. Then hope may fade away, and then prices drop. And that's what's going to be the norm of oil volatility. It's just not going to move up for quite a while.
Volatility, but in this, historically speaking, just a super low range. That rig count climbed by 7 to 447. If you look at the actual active rigs, not total rigs, but just the ones that are actively pumping right now, it rose 6 from 350 to 357 from 351 this week. So
that's still the effect of getting right in that range of 50 that we said. When you get at upper 40s there,
companies got to go back to work.
We got to get some cash flow going. Pull the rig out the hole and let's go.
On top of that, the summer driving season is not as drivey as they expected. So not as much as demand as they had hoped for, and more supply than they had hoped for. You can't help but see that oil price go back down below 40. I mean, that $26 barrel limit, barrel price, that was pretty frightening for my buddies out in the oil patch. I hope we don't get down that low. But more pain's coming, guys. Sorry. We got Norman in Garyville. You're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Well, first of all, I love y'all show. You're just so much on time with all the information you're putting out. You're really a lot better than the financial shows I listen to. Seriously. Y'all doing a good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, the thing you got on my last nerve about was about the Iraqi dinar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please.
Okay, now listen. Well, I'm a retired Marine, so I've been around the world. Maybe I have a PhD in world travel. I don't know. But the thing is, the Iraqi dinar, it resembles what the Kuwaiti dinar went through. They went through like 10 years. You couldn't even buy a liter of water with a wheelbarrow of their money. It just takes time. You only buy what you can afford to pay. Do you buy the Iraqi dinar or pay your light bill? I pay my light bill first, okay? Then on the second thing, look at the Russian ruble went down. Look at the British pound went down. Everything is going down. You buy what you can afford, but it will come around. And matter of fact, it's projected, what I understand, that Iraq itself and Babylon eventually will become like the Wall Street of the Middle East with oil. So it's a lot of potential over there. And you guys agree, and a little bit of stock I got, which ain't nothing to talk about, you buy, you stay for a long time. You don't just buy and get rid of it. So my thing with that Iraqi dinar, whatever you pay for it at the time, you can make money on it and get your money back. You can't do that with no other currency. You agree?
What?
Yeah, in other words, now I know this is going against the grain, what you said, and I can understand that. But if you bought the Iraqi dinar way back in the day, you still could sell it and get your money out of it.
No, if you sold it back in the day, you've been getting crushed. We're looking at charts. Look,
You're looking at charts, but look, I already know some people that they bought it for way back in the day. They went to the bank and got their money back. They broke even. They didn't really like lose everything. I don't know what charts, but and a lot of things too. A lot of this day today is a lot of fuzzy math. If you look with the government, wouldn't you want to pay your debts off instead of balance the budget? They always want to brag about Newt Gingrich, which is on my last nerve too, that they balanced the budget. I'd be embarrassed that I balanced the budget when I want to pay it off. So, but that's another story. But the thing about the dinar, all is foreign currency. It's just, you know, like in the stock market, really organized crime in a way. You just buy what you can afford. You stay in it for the long haul, correct? I hear a silent no.
Yeah, that's kind of a no. I mean, that can work out. But when you look at these currency exchanges, the record of history is against you, Norman. Currencies usually don't gain value. Currencies have a horrible history, and it's pretty solid. I mean, including our dollar, of every year it's worth less and less and less. They depreciate over time. That's the norm.
One Iraqi dinar today buys 0.00084 U.S. dollars there. There's okay. Another story I have pulled up here, and we get calls time to time where somebody has, oh, it's going to get revalued, and my $1,000 is going to turn into $1 million. And, you know, there's a story, and this one's a while back here, but according to prosecutors, this is back in 2015, a group of men behind an Iraqi currency scheme created a pitch that included a war hero tells to lure potential investors. You have someone who is out there who is soliciting millions and millions of dollars from people just making stuff up, said Dettelbach, that's a U.S. attorney, Northern District of Ohio. The opportunity was pitched as a way to profit from a nearly worthless Iraqi dinar. Scammers promised profits were nearly guaranteed if investors bought dinars at today's value, then exchanged the dinars back for dollars at a later date, once the dinar exchange rate presumably improved, and it has not. And we've been doing this show for over 6 years, and
yeah,
it just seems to rise back up. And I've not seen anybody come in and say, yeah, I made a pile of money off this dinar thing.
All right. Well, what's a dinar worth today? 0.0008. If and you want to talk about long term, let's look at the history. Let's say you bought it 30 years ago, 1986. According to this chart, 1986, it was worth $3.22 then. So you lost a little bit of value there. If you want to go back further than that, you can go this chart goes back to 1949, when the Iraqi dinar was worth $4.86. So aside from the tiny little daily, monthly volatile movements, it's been a losing investment over the course of time, from almost any start point till today.
The thing is, you want to throw numbers out there. Look at the state of Louisiana. When they went out there under the Jindal administration, which is another one on my last nerve, they got the state police to do some kind of, you guys know this, or however you're going to take it, in New York City, where they guaranteed them 26% interest on the return, and come to find out, we the taxpayers had to put money out there to bail them out. So a lot of this numbers is a lot of fuzzy math. The thing is, when you buy something, you got to buy it for the long haul, put a safe deposit box, and let it go. It's like right now, the Russian Royale, that's down. But as soon as they kiss and make up, which I just read in the paper they will with Obama, he needs a lot of kissing and make up to look good, that the Russian ruble will go up, which I bought a while back. So whatever I bought, but the bottom line is, just buy what you can afford. And like you guys say, too, I think I heard you say, when you get out of it and everybody else makes you a kind of money.
All right. Norman, do you own some Iraqi dinar right now? Just a quick yes, no. We got to run.
Yes, and I own about 7 other currencies. I'm going to buy some more, but I only buy what I can afford.
I got you, Norman. Listen, we got to run.
Currency trader.
But whenever you get out of that Iraqi dinar, give us a call back and let us know how much money you made. Love to hear it. 504-260-0995 if you want to be next. Thank you, Norman and Garyville. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. You're listening to Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. When we went to the break, we had a caller about the Iraqi dinar, and I didn't get to finish the story here regarding the prosecution of this circle, or it was called the BH Group. And investors bought the currency through the firm BH Group, which charged a 20% markup on average. They were getting an instant 20% return, so you're already 20% down in the investment. before you've got to make 20% plus to start making money on that. So by the time the scheme was unraveled, federal officials say victims handed over nearly $24 million to the con men for that Iraqi currency they thought would make them rich. I remember it was probably early last year, maybe 2 years ago at this time, you know, when you're doing a great show like this, just time flies. 6 years went by like in no time. But my sister Susan had called me. I've got two sisters. Lisa had called her, telling her about this Iraqi dinar opportunity that she needed to get in on it too, because she was. So Susan thinks of, well, I better call Gregory. So she calls me, and I like almost start to crack up, and I said, here's what's going on there. And it all was probably because of this spreading around the country, and all this money moved through them, and on picking up $24 million, you know, they just raked $5 million right off the top. And look, they weren't the only group doing this too, but that's really what was going on there. When it's just, it's like that email, you know, you're the prince of, what are you the prince of, James? You know,
what, Spring emails? Rock?
No.
No, I am a prince from Nigeria, though. That was my previous job, though. Made a ton of money.
And, yeah, you've got some millions you need to shift, and you need some help with that. Needs a sponsor.
Yeah, and if you want to give me your bank account number and routing number, 504-260-0995, and don't really do that. That was a joke. Sally in New Orleans, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Hey, Sally, how can we help you?
Oh, hi there. I enjoy your show so much. My question is, I've been sitting on a lot of inherited silver, sterling silver, and I was wondering if this was a good time to start peddling that, since the price of silver has shot up so much. And, you know, if there, you know, what, how it plays out with my taxes and you know, just a ramble on that.
Well, it's going to be taxed as a collectible. Silver has moved up this year. I can't tell you where it's going to go from right now. From a gold standpoint, we're holding it in our portfolio. And silver sometime moves similar to gold. Darn sure not exactly. There. So you're just holding it for value reasons?
Well, I don't like to clean it, and so I want to, you know, see if there's an advantage to selling it. I've got a very small family, and they're just not interested in it, and so why hold on to it if I could sell it for a price?
I kind of actually agree with that. If you're not wanting to keep it, the maintenance is a problem, upkeep, and it has some value, it sounds like a reason to sell it.
Yeah, and one of the big advantages to selling, instead of just having silver and the value intrinsically in the metal and converting it to money, is you can take the money and go buy stuff with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, go get a cheeseburger or something.
Or invest elsewhere.
Well,
carefully, I might add.
You know, I've been researching antique value on some of it. And some of it's, you know, pretty high. And then I'm wondering if smelting it is a good alternative for things that can't be identified, you know, what kind it is or who made it and that kind of thing. Sometimes they don't have any markings on them. But, I mean, they have the sterling silver markings. They just don't say who made it. Like if it was Paul Revere or George Jetson, you know, they always mark their things.
Yeah.
Did you say George Jetson?
Yeah. G-E-O-R-G, Jensen.
Oh, Jensen. I thought you said Jetson like the cartoon.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Yeah.
George Jensen is a sought-after artist and silversmith.
Okay.
Way back.
Well, you learned me something. But this would be, if you're going to unload it, this is a pretty favorable environment to unload it, Gregory. You're looking at a
this
chart over there.
This is the most favorable time we've had in the past 3 years.
Yeah, I know. It's really gone up.
All right. So unload, we think, right?
Yeah. No. Once again, it's a decision, but this isn't the normal. This isn't a silver investor here. She has a lot of silver she's inherited and looking to go another direction. And the upkeep, no, just what you're kind of saying is, yeah, I, for those reasons, probably would sell it too as well.
Yeah.
All right. Sally, anything else?
No, that's That's about it. I just wanted to confirm that it would be viewed as income, so that would increase my tax, of course.
So you inherited this, right?
Right.
Did you have it valued when you inherited it?
Oh, yeah, their list, sure.
Okay, well, that might have some impact there.
She gets a step up, right?
Exposure. I'd have to look up. I'm not going to answer that directly. It's collectible, and I would go back and look at that to make sure.
All right.
Where would you look?
Oh, I just would go do research. I could probably find out pretty quick after the show today, but that's something I'm not going to answer. I just know you're going to have a tax, perhaps, but I want to check to see if it has a step-up basis. And if some things I'm just not going to tell you because I don't want to be wrong, and I don't have 100% confidence in my answer. So, and I do this every day. If I'm not positive, we're going to go double check before we give out the information.
I get it. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for calling. Enjoyed the call.
Yeah, good luck with the silver. Here's the problem with silver, though. If you have a silver coin, doesn't matter what it's valued for. If I go through Raising Cane's and I try and pay for my number three with it, they don't take it. You got to convert it to currency. There's even places around here that'll take Bitcoin, but not silver. So it's kind of frustrating to have that big pile of silver there. You can't do anything with it until you sell it. Hey,
converting it to Bitcoin?
No, not converting it to Bitcoin. I'm saying there's more companies here that would take Bitcoin than silver. Like, silver is less liquid than the virtual currency that keeps making my headphones ding at me. All right, hey, I wanted to do this segment. We only have 2 minutes, but I think we can squeeze in a nice summary here.
Where does the time go?
Yeah, into the ether. It goes into silver. It goes, it's going right now into this rundown. We saw pensions may be cut virtually to nothing for about 500,000 people. Now, you'd been talking about this multi-state private pensioner company that is not going to be able to pay all its bills, but we're running into a new problem here. The government entity that's supposed to serve as the backstop, much like the FDIC backs up your savings account up to $250,000, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is a government entity that's supposed to kick in if these pensions are short, but this guy's out of money too. The PBGC is underfunded as well, and it's not going to be able to cover all the retirees in the Central States Pension Fund, and I think this is stemming from the Middle States Teamsters Union. And so now we have a historical precedent that's about to be set on how they deal with this. And we learned a little bit more about that this week. I guess, all right, fine. We'll take a break. We'll come back and finish that up. Because what does that look like now? We haven't seen this before. What's the government going to do if your pension fund is underfunded, but the backup is underfunded too? You're not going to like it. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. If you got a
on your kiss, on your time, boy, I'm calling dibs. On your hand, on your heart, oh my, make everybody jealous. When I take you off the market and get my lipstick on your right cheek.
If you have a financial question you'd like help with, 504-260-0995. You're listening to us on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. James Parker, co-host in studio with me. Long way to go and very little time to get there now.
Well, I just feel really stupid. I was looking for a video this morning before the show that I had put on our website on the Winning It Life blog on WRNO.com. Didn't think to find it there. I was getting really ticked at CNN Money. It's like, what, did you bury this video? It was only 2 days ago. I just saw it.
And
stupid.
Who helped you out?
You did. Thank God you're my backside.
That's like, what do you mean it's gone? They took it off our website?
Yeah, and I thought, Gregory, you got to trust me, man. I looked for it before the show for like a half hour trying to find it. It was a very frustrating process, and I don't know if they took it down or whatnot. But yeah, pensions may be cut to virtually nothing. The headline says for 407,000 people. But I got news flash for you, folks. If this works out the way we think it is, this is going to be the new model because it's a precedent. This is going to be followed for many other pension plans, probably pension plans like New Orleans firefighters. This may be the precedent that everyone's looking at when they determine what's going to happen with your retirement funds. We have a couple of other public pension funds, both in New Orleans and Louisiana at large, that are facing similar situations. New Jersey is probably the biggest disaster on a government level. They're even worse off than Louisiana is. What are you looking at here? No. You don't have to record it. You can just play it straight off that computer. No? All right, forget it then. So here's the deal. We had to do a little learning on what the situation is going to be, because we've never seen the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation be underfunded and not be able to back up the pensions as promised. So what we have here is a new czar of sorts, Feinberg. What was his first name? Paul Allen? What was it?
Wasn't it George?
Might have been George Feinberg. It was a Feinberg. But he's the guy that, if you're the company, or in this case, the Central States Pension Fund, the Teamsters, you got to come up with a solution. How are you going to rectify the underfunded pension plus whatever money we are going to be able to give you versus what you owe each of your pensioners? And the process is going to go through him. He's going to look at the proposal. If he okays it, then it goes to a vote by the people who should be receiving the pensions, the pensioners, both current and the ones that are on the way in the company currently. And if they approve it, then it goes ahead. If they disapprove it, well, then Feinberg has another task. He either reevaluates the program and sends it back to the chalkboard with the Teamsters, or he says, you know what, this is as good as it's going to get, and he forces the cuts on them. So that's the big mess that we're looking at. How do you think this is going to work out, Gregory? I think they're just going to have to cut the checks that they're writing to other people. For the people who are currently paying into it, they're going to raise that sum, but they're not going to fix it with either or. They're probably going to have to do both.
Well, they hadn't even resubmitted it to that czar to make that decision, because they said, from the folks running the pension, said this is the only way to do it. And then, of course, he said that's not good enough. I just think it's drastically getting cut.
Yeah, but if they do all cuts, then when they put it to the votes of the people who are getting checks, they're going to say no. They're going to want to see the people who
are...
And we
know then it doesn't matter what they say at the end of the day.
Well, it does, because this is now a political animal. That's in the mix now. So what you're going to have is they're going to say, why not the people who are paying into the pension have to pay more? Because if they don't, then they're just going to be put in the same situation we're put in a few years, and you're going to continue to underfund the pension. The problem isn't just that the pension doesn't have enough money to cover it. The problem is, systemically speaking, that this whole time we weren't contributing enough. So I
don't know that the pension is still open. I think this pension may be closed. Now I'm going to have to go back and look at my research.
Well, then we could take a similar stance on what would they do with the firefighters' pensions here in New Orleans. You know, I'm thinking we're going to have to see a mix.
Well, they've cut benefits, and they have to, and more has to be contributed from their behalf. But really what the effect is, they don't have the same benefits, those that went before them. And it is that pyramid. You've got less people paying in and more taking out from it, and they're just not supporting that. That's the same thing that's going on there. And part of why this czar-type position's been created is of what's yet to come. Tidal wave of this is headed.
Myra in Gretna, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Hi. I have a question. I have an elderly mother who's almost 90. And someone mentioned that we should freeze her credit because she's not going to be taking any loans. She does have some credit cards, but is not planning on getting any additional credit cards or buying anything extra. Is there an advantage to doing that? And if so, what do I do to make that happen?
You should what her credit?
Freezing her credit
cards. Oh,
freeze the credit with the credit bureaus or something to that effect, so people can't take out a fraudulent account in her name.
Yeah, I've done this before on mine years ago, and that is to flag my credit. That if somebody applies for credit, means it's flagged. So that means a phone call is going to happen, and I would be someplace applying for credit to buy something, and then I just go ahead and let them know you're going to be getting a phone call shortly for verification, meaning they have, and I'm should be the only one to know the question. They would verify it with me, and then it would go forward in that case. So that would really put a halt on it because there's nobody that is going to verify that credit being undone. Just being that it's your mom and her up in age, just make sure that's what's being done.
So you go to all three of the credit bureaus and say, just put a flag on it and give me a call anytime something new happens?
Yeah, if somebody's trying to open something, don't.
Is that secure enough for you, Myra? Or are you trying to shut it down altogether?
Well, I mean, she's not going to be applying for any kind of credit. So are the three credit agencies sufficient, or do I need to do something else? Because she seems to keep getting soliciting calls.
I think that's sufficient. I'm not the final say, but that's how I would go about it, is go to the major credit bureaus and put a block or alert, flag it to where that happens. And I think it's a great idea to kind of say, yeah, we just need to make sure we don't have some problem that pops up, because there's just so much theft of all kind going
on. Right, and she seems to keep getting phone calls, and everybody and the brother is asking for money. And I'm just concerned with her age that something may occur. So I think that's the thing to do, is to go ahead and flag her with the credit agencies and make sure that the credit card bureaus or whatever they're called, and make sure that she's taken care of. Thank you very much.
This was a great call, great idea. I fully back that. It makes so much sense.
So at what point are you going to start playing Pokemon Go? Have you sworn off to never play it?
Never.
You're not interested in the new technology of augmented reality? This is going to change the world. Listen,
I am interested in it. Not at this point, not with that game.
Not catching cartoon characters. I got it.
It is interesting to see where this goes. And it also goes to the thing, you've seen the Google things or whatever.
Yeah, the virtual reality box, the augmented reality box.
Or you're taking and putting your phone in a box and you're seeing what's on that phone, but that cliff is still, what I'm getting at. You can just get one of that, go out in the field and walk around and get your little Go toys or whatever it is you're doing there. But there's where can this go from here? And I do think it takes leaps from some Pokemon game to other things that might be of more interest, whether you're walking out onto a field, and next thing you know, you're standing there in the World Cup soccer game going on. The virtual extension of this.
Think about it in the medical field. If you're a novice doctor, or a doctor could be like helping to guide you, you could cut someone open and you could have your little goggles on and you could look at it, and you're still looking at the patient, but there's little labels on everything. Hey, this is the pancreas, and in the last CAT scan, it was a little underperforming, or this is where you should make the incision. It adds stuff to what you're actually seeing. So right now, it's just when I look through my camera at the real world, over there by my TV set, there's a Jigglypuff. Once you start down this augmented reality road, the business applications of this are just huge. I can think of 1,000 things, especially in things like the medical field, or if you're looking out at a crowd, everyone could have a label on them. If that at the next live event that we have at Gregory Ricks Live, you could look through your camera and everyone's face would have their name over it. You could remember everyone's name. You could just be like Tina, or you could be like Jeff, or if you're a college professor and you got 80 people in the stadium classrooms, you can look through your camera and have everyone's name. So when they raise your hands and you need to call on them, you can say their name. I'm telling you.
You do your best every show to get Pokemon Go into it. Did you do a side deal with
It's the Nintendo biggest financial story of
it
the week.
It is the number one downloaded app right now, that's for sure, because I checked again today. But let me ask you this. I thought about this the other day. You just get you a treadmill, get on there going. Does it take you long? Then you
absolutely not.
So you got to go right. You got to go about town.
Yeah.
Like I have time for that.
Hey, how much money is it making every day?
It's not making me a dime.
How much revenue is it bringing
in
every
day?
Making
you any money?
No.
Okay.
More
but
people.
How much are you making Nintendo? A bunch.
More people used it yesterday than Twitter. It's only a week old, Gregory. I'm telling you, this is huge.
Wow.
All right. Hey, remember the weekday version of Gregory Ricks. It's every Monday through Friday, 7. So we'll see you Monday at 7. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.